Everybody told me you have to do like 3 to 4 months of prep, but we're trying to raise $8,500 and we raised $10,000.
Welcome to Push In, the Cinevic podcast. I'm your host, Joyce Klein, coming to you from the unceded territory of the Lekwungen speaking peoples, otherwise known as beautiful Victoria, British Columbia, Canada. Today's filmmaker draws from an impressively eclectic range of influences. He may have started out with a degree in political science, but Immanuel Foucault is now an actor, writer, editor, and producer for both stage and screen, dividing his time between Montreal and Victoria. When I watched Washer, the short he wrote and directed with collaborator Alex Gandy at this year's Victoria Film Festival, I wanted to find out more about this talented newcomer to Victoria's film community. Welcome, Immanuel. Thanks for joining us on Push In.
Thanks for having me.
Scene one.
Washer is based on the infamous and pretty horrific mind control psychotherapy experiments that were conducted at the Allen Memorial Institute in Montreal, funded by the CIA and the Canadian government from, I read, 1957 to 64. Can you tell us what actually happened there?
It was told that Ewan Cameron, that was heading these experiments, was funded by the CIA and the Canadian government. And there was this sort of imperative to cure. There was a story that says that he was after a Nobel Peace Prize to try to cure schizophrenia, and he was willing to try any sort of methods. If he saw any sort of benefits from one round of electroshocks, he'll try to push it to tenfold. So there was this sort of ethos that if one is good, maybe 10 times is better. And at the same time, we're in the Cold War era, so there was all these Korean War vets that were coming back and that were more sympathetic towards communist ideals, and the CIA and the Western countries thought that perhaps there was some sort of brainwashing happening. So they wanted to get to the forefront of this and try, you know, whatever means necessary to figure out ways to potentially alter behavior. These experiments were conducted in Montreal at McGill. And I did this ghost tour once, and I was shown this building. It looks like looks like something out of an Edgar Allan Poe story, like really gothic architecture and this big pool in the back. And if you go up Mont-Royal, which is like the main mountain in Montreal, you can see this pool, and it's covered with ivy and graffiti, and there's something ominous about it. Yeah, it seems over the years I just kept falling into stories about it through like the Fifth Estate, through a ghost tour, through some personal connections.
How closely does the film follow actual historical events?
My co-writer and I, we were trying to figure out how to tell the story. And we were more interested in like, how does someone go through these experiments and justify themselves? Because, you know, a lot of people were following some sort of like hegemony, some sort of authority structure, and thought that they were doing good work. And at one point, you know, the seams started to undo themselves, and it became obvious that these experiments were not helping these patients, but actually doing more harm. You know, a patient would come in with postpartum depression and come out without knowing their names.
Wow.
We were really interested in how do you live with yourself if you're part of this? And so we fictionalized a character that would have worked under Ewan Cameron, and our protagonist is out there to interview him. And we were more interested in how do you move forward from maybe being part of something that you thought was good, and then you realize that it was corrupted, perhaps, or that the intentions weren't aligned. So how do you live with yourself? That's the question that we ask ourselves. And we fictionalize this character that would have been part of this historical event. So that's the approach we took.
And yet there's so much focus on the effect of the intergenerational trauma from those experiments on your other character. Why did you decide to focus so much on that rather than the actual people who experienced basically torture?
We thought it would be more appropriate for our age. I thought it was appropriate to use this protagonist who's trying to uncover the truth, that then the twist is that he was more deeply connected than he thought he was to these experiments, and that these have an effect on you. And to unpack the past can help you live in the present.
How did you finance the film?
Alec and I are both tree planters, and we've been dreaming about making this film for a few years, and we tried to go through, typical means of financing and got a big no. So we self-funded it through a couple seasons of tree planting. We saved some money, and then we got a lot of favors. I've been in the theater scene in Montreal and like some film friends, so just a lot of favors. And then we did get a grant from the Canadian Council for the post-production, which was terrific. And then we were able to get proper sound done and color. And so, yeah, it was partially self-funded and partially funded with the grant. I feel once you have the footage, it's a lot easier to see the vision.
Your cast was amazing and very experienced, but mostly theater people. How did you find all your actors?
Joyce, your research. Wow. Okay, well, I actually took classes with Chip Chipka, who's such a talented man. He must be a bard from another time. Like, he is such a character, and I took acting classes with him to, you know, understand that language. I didn't know how to direct actors. I just asked them to do things again and again. And then the more time I spent with them, the more I was like, this man is born for, like, a big... We would love to make a movie with this man. And so we wrote a feature script for him, and we gave it to him, and he is very picky and very particular about what he does. And we were very nervous, my co-writer and I, Alec. We gave him this script, and he accepted and even helped us cast the rest of it. So he was pivotal into making this happen, and he saw the potential of the story, and he believed in us. So we were very lucky that such a talented man helped us. He was amazing. And he also has some personal ties to that story, which I had no idea, which was quite uncanny. But there were like similar experiments happening in Saskatchewan, and he's from Saskatchewan. It like really, the synchronicities aligned, and it was crazy. We had no idea.
I know that a lot of filmmakers edit their own films, but I've also heard people advise that you shouldn't edit your own work. And you did edit Washer. And why did you make that decision?
I wish I could say something romantic, but I just didn't. We didn't have enough money to hire another editor, and I was. I just knew how the shots should go together, and because I'm editing it, it helps me to shoot with more discipline. Because I'm like, I know I will have to deal with these things. I've always loved editing.
Scene two.
Your latest project, Day Three, is billed as the first tree planting horror film. And as someone who made the lateral career move to plant trees when I was 30, I thought all of tree planting was horror. Are you still planting trees? That's still the day job?
I guess a seasonal job, yes. I've been planting trees for the last 8 years and then doing filmmaking things during the off season. Yeah, I've been working in the bush for the last 8 years, and we kept having friends joke around about, like, when are you going to make a film about tree planting? And like you correctly stated, it lends itself to horror film quite easily. One of these years we were just talking, and I was like, yes, we have to make this happen. It's so fertile for that type of story. Yeah, we're in post-production for it, and I think we'll be in picture lock in a few weeks, and then should be released in the summer.
I saw in researching that you crowdfunded for Day Three. How did that go?
Wow, you really did your research, Joyce. It was really successful. We were trying to raise $8,500, and we raised $10,000, and everybody told me you have to do like 3 to 4 months of prep, but we just did it really fast because there was a window of opportunity where a lot of people were available in the summer to make this happen. So I guess the whole curate to a niche thing actually was quite successful. Like we really reached out to tree planters and indie filmmakers, and I was actually quite emotional receiving all that support and felt like I had to make that community proud.
Tail Slate.
Well, thank you so much, Emmanuel. That was super cool. Interesting to hear all your things you're doing. And thanks again.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for the great questions.
And that's a wrap. You can find links to Emmanuel and his films in the show notes, and you can help promote the talented filmmakers we feature by liking, subscribing, or 5-star rating us so others can find their interviews more easily. That's it for now. Join me, your host, Joyce Klein, for the next episode of Push In, the Cinevic Podcast.